So we are back. I would just like to clear up a small misconception that I find is very normal and is found with a lot of people. Is what exactly does feminism preach? So we've talked about where it's come from, the history behind it. We've talked about how to make it inclusive and by making it intersectional. And now what does it preach? So let's go back to the definition that we first talked about in the beginning. And that was by Merriam-Webster. And there are a lot of definitions of feminism by the most amazing women. But it is very, very simple. So it says, the belief that men and women should have equal rights and opportunities. And it is nothing more complicated than that. So does feminism say that women should not be home, like home carers, and they should only focus on their jobs and be, you know, employees and whatnot? No, feminism doesn't tell you what to do. This is extremely important. Feminism does not tell you how to dress. Feminism does not tell you how to speak, how to look. Feminism just gives you the opportunity to do what you would like. So if you are someone who does not want to work and wants to have a family and stay at home and raise her kids, then by all means, if that is the way that you want to live your life, then please do, and more power to you. That is what feminism says. If you don't want to have children and you'd like to remove your ovaries and you'd like to be a full-time employee, then by all means, all power to you. Do exactly that. It does not say that one thing is better than the other. And that is very important because feminism becomes oppressive when, especially in the West, we like to put our Western ideology on other women and say, this is what is right and what you are facing is oppressive. So when, for example, in Afghanistan with the war on terror, at the time of, I think it was the second Bush administration, there was a feminist movement that was run by Jay Leno's wife. And she had said, what we should be focusing on right now is removing those God darn burqas. Those women are wearing those burqas and it's so oppressive. And they went out in the street and they took off those burqas and it was this whole demonstration. And number one, that is not what feminism does. Of course, those women, some I cannot speak on behalf of them, might not have wanted to wear the burqas by their own choice. But the fact that you can say that that is oppressive because in the West I don't wear it and I don't like it does not make it right. And the thing is as well is in Afghanistan, this thing really bothers me. There were these care packages that were being dropped at the same time of this movement. There were these care packages that were being dropped in Afghanistan and they looked so friendly. There were these yellow, beautiful little boxes and children would approach these boxes and they were filled with things like peanut butter and crackers. I'm not sure if they had peanut butter in Afghanistan then, but I guess it didn't translate well. But anyways, they had these care packages that were so beautifully wrapped and looked and so enticing, and children would approach them and they would be bombs and it would just go off. And that was happening at the same time that these women were running around the streets and tearing off these burqas. So it just shows you how privilege kind of changes what you see as urgent and as not urgent. So it would have been much nicer if these women had focused on these life-threatening causes rather than if the burqa was oppressive or not oppressive. If you would, the issue with the burkini, it is a woman's choice. If she chooses to dress that way, then that is not oppressive and you have no right to state what is or what's not based on your Eurocentric school of thought. And that's very ethnocentric as well. Ethnocentrism is when you view your culture as better than somebody else's, and is very commonly seen in the West. I see it a lot where people believe that their way of thinking is much more advanced. This is for when we talk about colonialism, an issue that bothers me a lot. Because believe it or not, colonialism still exists and decolonization is going on, and it's not pretty. But anyways, that is very important why we should talk. We should check our privilege and realize why certain issues are not as important to other people than we think just because we live here in the West. Anyways, so Let's get into the most Googled questions for feminists. These are very funny to me, but these are the most Googled ones, so people want answers, and let us find out. So, why are feminists so angry? Now, this is very interesting to me because there is a, it's very hypocritical when we talk about anger with regards to women, and then we compare it to men. So women who are angry are hormonal and they're crazy and da 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 da. But men who are angry are seen as assertive and confident and da what and whatnot, and they're powerful. But when women are angry and they're talking about actual issues and they're fighting for basic rights and to be recognized as equals, they're seen as crazy, angry feminists. So we are not angry. No, we are angry. I'm sorry. We are angry. I'm not sorry that we are angry. I take back my apology. That is something I'm learning as a woman as well. I apologize way too much, and I'm not sorry. We are not angry. We are angry. Oh my goodness. We are angry. I got riled up for a second. We are angry. And we are angry because we have a right to be. We're fighting for something. If you have a movement that you're passionate about and you're fighting for, you will be angry because there is some form of inequality that you're trying, to overcome. So that anger is very legitimized. And it was very funny to see in the elections between Trump and Hillary how his emotions were translated very differently than she was. So this double standard with men and women with regards to emotion is awful, and we need to get rid of it. The second I see someone ask a woman at any award show or anywhere, what are you going to wear? I'm just, I can't do it. Do feminists hate men? Well, interestingly enough, we do not hate men. Feminism does not preach hatred of men, and it's seen as a kind of attack against men, women wanting their equality, but it isn't. Women do not hate men. We love men, or whatever your sexual orientation is. We just want to be treated like human beings, and we want the same opportunities as you guys. You guys are having fun over there in your privileged world, and we'd like to be a part of it. Please. Why do feminists not shave? Now, this is... it's ridiculous. Why does a woman shaving or not shaving concern you so much? How are these the most Googled questions? Is this the world that we live in today? It's their choice. Let them do whatever they want. Men don't shave. Men have these hairy legs and I don't know what. And no one questions if you guys shave or not. Why do we have the same thing? It's, again, it is feminism that gives women the choices to do whatever they want. So that should not be a concern for you because you don't shave, whoever you are asking this question. Does a feminist have to be female? And we will get into this in a little bit. No, a feminist can be a man. But there are different ways to support women and to support feminism as a man. And it has to do with recognizing your privilege and making sure that you allow women to speak and give them that stage or give them the opportunity. And as well, recognizing pronouns. Female means cis and trans female, and male is including cis and trans men. And then we have, do feminists get married? It's their choice. If they would like to get married and participate in that constitution, that is up to them. If they would not, then that is up to them. It is just about the choice. There is nothing that says feminist has to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There is no list that all feminists are under. There's no umbrella, I promise you. What does a feminist believe in? A feminist believes that we should be inclusive, that we should give opportunities to everyone, that we should recognize the voices of those that cannot speak because they haven't been allowed to, and we should not speak for them. That is very important as well, and we'll go into that at the end. We are about to wrap up the show soon. Will feminism hurt your career? I don't understand that question. Will feminism hurt your career? I guess if you're standing up against the acts of sexism that might be in, for example, like in an office or whatever, and being like, that is sexist and that is that makes me uncomfortable and whatnot, it might hurt your career. But who cares at the end of the day? If we don't fight what is happening and we don't speak up, it will never end. So I suppose in a short-term perspective, yes, it will. But long-term, it will allow women to finally surpass that glass ceiling, hopefully. So just to wrap up, we are going to talk about what can we do now to support feminism from every single standpoint. So number one is very important. Each person, like, think of it for yourself. You have to check your privilege. For example, I am a Muslim woman, I am Canadian, and I am also, someone is trying to get into the room. I am Canadian, and I am also Palestinian. So I pertain to a different privilege than, for example, a refugee woman would have. Number two, if you carry more privilege than somebody else does, do not speak on their behalf. Allow them to say, I feel this and I feel that. And you cannot say, oh, just because I don't feel the same forms of oppression that you feel, that makes yours illegitimate. That you can't do that. Because you have privilege that allows you to not feel that, my friend. Number three, we need to give a space for those women who are not represented, for a space for minority women to speak on their own behalfs for themselves, and not speak for them. Because when we speak on behalf of minority groups, we are reinforcing the hierarchy that I have more privilege than you, and therefore I will give you your rights, instead of allowing them to have it for themselves. Number four is support other females, support each other, believe each other. And that can mean any kind. Just because somebody's lifestyle does not coincide with what you believe is your own lifestyle does not make it false. Okay? And let's talk about men. How can men support feminism and be included in feminism? Well, men, it is the same exact thing. Check your privilege, realize that you have more privilege, speak to other men. Unfortunately, a male's perspective is seen as more important, or is seen as more legitimate than that of a woman's perspective. So speak on behalf of other men, but make sure you're saying the right things. So to a woman, you know, don't talk for her, don't talk on our behalf, ask us what we'd like, ask us what is our perspective, and then speak to other men and support women as well. And I will leave with a very small spoken word poetry by a Sudani poet. Her name is Emmy Mahmoud. And this is also a time to recognize that there is a revolution happening currently in Sudan, and their people are being killed and massacred by an oppressive regime. And we can, just because there isn't a lot of media covering it, we can't forget it. And if you don't know what's happening, please look into what's happening and see how you can help. Just spreading the word helps so much. So please do that. And I will leave you with Mama, and then I will say goodbye, because that is rude not to say goodbye. So we will be back in a few.
I'm walking down the street when a man stops me and says, "Hey, yo, sister, you from the motherland? Because my skin is a shade too dark not to have come from foreign soil. Because my body is a beacon calling everyone to come flock to the motherland. Because this garment on my head screams Africa." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm from Sudan. Why?" He says, "Yes, you is, because you got a little bit of flavor in you. Don't get me wrong. I'm just admiring what your mama gave you." Let me tell you something about my mama. She can reduce a man to tattered flesh without so much as blinking. Her words fester beneath your skin. Her words fester beneath your skin. And the whole time, you won't be able to stop cradling her eyes. Because my mama is a woman, flawless and formidable in the same step. Woman walks into a war zone and has warriors cowering at her feet. My mama holds all of us in her face, in her body, in her blood. And blood is no good once you let it loose. So she always holds us close, keeping us safe from caving in. When I was 7, my mama cradled bullets in the billows of her robes. That same night, she came home and taught me how to get gunpowder out of cotton with a bar of soap. Years later, when the soldiers held her at gunpoint and asked her who she was, she said, "I am a daughter of Adam. I am a woman. Who the hell are you?" And the last time we went home, we watched our village burn. soldiers pouring blood from civilian skulls as if they too could turn water into wine. The woman who raised me turned and said, don't be scared. I'm your mother. I'm here. I won't let them through. My mama gave me conviction. Women like her inherit bruised wrists, tired eyes, and a titanium-plated spine. The daughters of widows wearing the wings of amputees, they carry countries between their shoulder blades. Now, I'm not saying that dating is a first world problem, but these trifling to be. The kind who'll quote Rumi, but not know what he sacrificed for war. Who fawn over Lupita, but turn the racial filters on. Who take their politics with a latte when I take mine with tear gas. Every guy I meet wants to be my introduction to the dark side, wants me to open up the obsidian skin, let him read every tearful page, because what survivor hasn't had her struggle made spectacle? Don't talk about the motherland unless you know that being from Africa means waking up an afterthought in this country. Don't talk about my flavor unless you know that my flavor is insurrection. It is rebellion. It is resistance. My flavor is burden. It is grit. And it is compromise, and you don't know compromise until you rebuilt your home for the third time without bricks, without mortar, without any other option. I turned to the man and said, my mother and I don't walk the streets alone back home anymore. Back home, there are no streets to walk anymore.
So we are going to just conclude today's episode on feminism by remembering to be inclusive, by remembering that we need to check our own privilege before we speak on behalf of others, and recognize that people go through different struggles that we face, and to just support one another. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, let's just support each other. And next week, we will be talking about colonialism. And I very much am trying very hard, because there are a lot of perspectives to colonialism. Some people view it as the worst thing that's ever happened to humankind, and that is my stance. And some people think that colonialism was very beneficial to those living in the countries that have been colonized, because they believe that the West has brought in a lot of great things like the language and education and liberal democracy and whatnot. So hopefully next week I will be able to sit down and talk to someone who has that perspective. And once again, we will be going into touchy topics. This is not meant to offend anyone. This is not meant to propagate any form of oppression. It is just important that these issues are spoken about, because if we don't talk about them, then we'll never resolve them. Just because something is sensitive and touchy, we can't say that is taboo, and I can't go there. And that's what happens a lot of the time. So just remember that this is spoken about with the best intention, and it is meant to educate. Obviously, we're human beings. We don't know everything. So please keep that in mind. And there will be a blog with a comment post where you can leave your perspectives. If you differ with me, I would love to hear your perspective. I encourage people to differ with opinions, because that is the life that we live. We're different. We're all different. So thank you so much for listening. This has been very fun. It was my first time. I was very nervous, but I think I've gotten through that. There was a lot of technical difficulties, but thank you for bearing with me. And have the most beautiful rest of your day, night, morning, afternoon, and goodbye.
Serotonin lost, serotonin.